Two boys were bored on a rainy summer day, so they began to do a jigsaw puzzle. That tells you how bored they must have been. They made no progress until one of them turned the box lid over to see the picture they were trying to create. It was a medieval court scene with a king surrounded by his subjects. And so one of the boys cried out, he said, "You know, now I see. The king is in the middle." Now, once they recognized that the puzzle became easy for them and they were able to finish it. We thank God for His word that He has given to us that provides guidance. At the same time, it orders our steps. A very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us today. Today, we want to spend some time looking in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, on the theme, A Certain Disciple for an Uncertain Time, from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend some time to draw lessons from this particular chapter. Let's pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable in Your sight, O God, our Rock and our Redeemer. And Father, we pray, God, as David prayed for guidance, we pray, God, that You'll continue to guide us and lead us and even order our steps, O God, that our lives will be always be aligned to Your Word. We pray, God, as we spend some time looking at Your Word, we pray for guidance. We pray that Your Spirit will continue to convince us and even convict us. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, if you are given the opportunity to meet a biblical character for coffee or even to have a conversation, who would you like to meet? Can you imagine, you know, you're that given that opportunity? Some of us would immediately jump by saying, we want to meet Adam because he's the first man. Everything was first to him. It was the first experience and how he saw the world and the creation that God has created. Some of us would say, we want to meet up for coffee with King David because he's known as one of the greatest kings, a person after God's own heart. We want to know how he was able to draft the Psalms, which is an inspiration to many of us. Those who want to learn on leadership would say, no, we want to meet up with Moses or even Joshua because they led the people in the wilderness. We want to acquire, you know, some leadership skills. Some of us would say, we want to learn about Joseph, so we would have a conversation with him. Because as a young man, he was able to overcome the many challenges in life and he was able to help the nation. Some of us would say, no, I want to meet up with Daniel. You know, how his courage, his perseverance, and how he felt just being alone in the lion's den. Some of us would say, you know, I want to meet up with Mary, the mother of Jesus. A humble and a godly person, a fearing character, who feared God. How is it to bring up a son who is the son of this world, son of God, the creator, the sovereign God? Some of us would say we would want to meet up with Ruth, a great example of service, humility, and godliness. I think the list goes on. We want to meet people because of their contribution that we see in the Bible. And it is a person that is also always talked about in the Scripture. Yes, God has used a number of people and the characters that we just saw. But unfortunately, many of us have grown up thinking that God only used special people or even the most gifted one, the most attractive one, or the ones who had a very dramatic testimony of conversion. or sometimes the people standing in rallies or in worship gatherings, they look cool, they are able to tell stories, and they are able to articulate things. That's the kind of people that God uses. That's the way we think. Many of us would be surprised, or even in the list, I doubt if we have this name, Ananias, whether we want to have a conversation with him or a coffee with him. The person that we want to meet today is Ananias. He does not get much coverage. He's only mentioned twice in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 9 and also in Acts chapter 22, right? In these two places, he's just introduced in a rather incidental way, not intentional way. But Ananias was God's man for God's time and to do God's purpose. So Scripture reminds us that God is always searching for people that he can use to fulfill his purpose, my friend. I believe many of us have been praying or even seeking ways to serve God. Or sometimes we wonder, you know, the kind of people that God will use, the kind of qualification that God is actually looking at. Today we want to spend some time looking at Ananias. Ananias' name is a very common name in the Bible. Let's not be confused with the other two Ananias, but we want to look at Ananias that we see in Acts chapter 9. And this Ananias is the one who loves God, whom God called at one of the critical moments in all of the history of the Christian church. And so, who is this Ananias and the kind of person that God wants to use today? I'm going to use an abbreviation called TAUGH, T-A-F, not the T-O-U-G-H, but the TAUGH. The first thing, T, is fruitful. Now, let's see how is Ananias been introduced in this particular passage and to see whether he was truthful to God. In verse 9, we read, it says, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. That's what we read, right? In some version, you will see the word a certain disciple. He was just known as a certain disciple in many versions. Ananias is just called as a disciple. If you look at the passage, you don't see any special title given to him. There was no special talent that was attached to his name. We do not know whether he had a leadership position in the church. Some say he was a leader, but we don't see Paul speaking about it or even Luke, who's the author of Acts of the Apostles, is mentioning about it. Apparently, it becomes very clear to us that he, in today's language, he is an average member of the church. But one of the great things that we see about this man, he is known as a disciple of Jesus, a certain disciple. You know, what a wonderful way, you know, Ananias was called. He was called a disciple. It is said that, you know, Ananias is one of the 70 disciples who sat at Jesus' feet and learned of him. And he was able to spend some time with Jesus just learning. And because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he was ready to instruct Saul of Tarsus. A true disciple is a follower and an imitator of his master. Dear friends, our strength for usefulness lies in our remaining as disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I cannot disciple all nations unless we are disciples ourselves. I believe, you know, disciples are both born and made. We are born disciples when we are born again. Born again into knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then we are made when we start living a life of obedience, following right, the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we may stumble, but we will get up and we will keep following Christ. And that's what disciple or discipleship is. And that was Ananias. You know, Ananias was truthful. You know, Paul speaks about it. And if you turn to Acts chapter 22, Paul mentions two things about him. He says in verse 12 in Acts 22, he says, a man named Ananias came to see me. And so Paul was sharing this, his testimony to the angry crowd before him. And he said, no, this man was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. So Paul uses two words to describe this man. He says he was a devout man according to the law. In other words, he loved God of the Old Testament. He loved the laws. He had a very firm commitment to live according to the requirements that was laid out in the law of God. In other words, he was so faithful to the word or the laws of God, my friend. But when he began to hear the gospel being preached, when he began to realize that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecies, that he is the Messiah, he readily gave his life to Jesus and became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul also says that he was highly respected by all the Jews living there. You know, when we look at the word, we might think, well, this is a simple statement. Or maybe, you know, yes, it is easy for a person. But, you know, this is very unusual. The time when Ananias was living, the Jews hated or they were against the Christians at all time. They were just against this group of people. But they could not help respecting this man, Ananias. He was thought well by those whom he lived and worked, or even transacted in his business dealings. And I believe, you know, it is not easy to have a character praised by people who strongly are against us. And I believe such a reputation, you know, Ananias had is not just gained in 5 minutes or in 5 days' time. People were able to observe his life, a life of obedience, a life of love, a life of compassion, upright character. He was generous in his behavior. And so people were not against him because they saw. Yes, Ananias was an ordinary man, but he was a humble disciple who lived a life to glorify Jesus by giving himself to Christ. He is not spoken as a leader of the church, but he was known as a good man who loved righteousness. Dear friends, I think that's what God is looking for today. As Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:26-29 onwards, you know, Paul says that God chooses people according to their hearts, not their strength, not their wealth, not their knowledge, or even family background, but according to the heart. And Ananias was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a devout man. He wanted to be faithful to the laws of God, that people were able to see his life. His life was very obvious that he was a man who loved God, who was sincere, who was affectionate. They dare not speak against him. He was truthful in his walk with God. And that's the kind of person I think God is seeking today. And he is wanting to use such people in the world that we live today in. Secondly, the word is available. He was available. A simple man, but he was available. God speaks to him in a vision. In verse 10, we read, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. the Lord called him in a vision, Ananias. Ananias responds by saying, "Yes, Lord." Look at his initial response. He says, "Yes, Lord." That's a wonderful response, a great response. Immediately, right? Ananias knew the voice of God. He knew very well, this is my God who is speaking to me. Probably he has heard the voice of God before and he recognizes the voice. His ear was tuned to the voice of God, my friend. It is a mark of discipleship. It also shows the maturity of his faith that enables him to recognize when and how God was speaking. Earlier, if you realize what was happening, Paul, when the Lord called Paul, Paul was saying, you know, "Who are you, Lord?" Paul was not able to recognize, but Ananias immediately responded because he knew who was speaking to him. Many a times when you look at the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see that Jesus uses a familiar word. He says, "If anyone have ears to hear, let him hear." Yes, today when God speaks, are we able to hear? Or sometimes many of us, you know, will hear, we know this is what God is saying, but whether God gets the answer. But Ananias answered. He was available. He said, "Yes, Lord." I believe spiritual hearing is something that we need to have in these days, my friend. We live in a time, in an uncertain time, and I believe God is speaking to us as individuals, and God is speaking to the church, and we need to be hearing. And it's important for us to hear what God. But secondly, you also realize that not only it was a good response, but then you see how Ananias responds. Sometimes we see there is some kind of fear in him. Let's read in verse 13. But Ananias said, "Lord, I've heard many about this man, or many reports about this man, and how much harm he did to your saints in Jerusalem." Wow, for a moment he said, "Lord, here am I." And then immediately he says, "Lord, I've heard about this man." When God says, "Go," he says, "I've heard about this man." Sometimes we might be thinking, you know, was Ananias afraid? Yes, he was afraid. At the same note, I think Ananias was expressing a concern. But in no way you see any refusal to obey God. He was sharing his concerns, or maybe his anxiety, his fear to God. Ananias has strong reasons for not wanting to anything to do with Saul, because Saul was just coming after the people, the Christians. But at the same time, you look at his answer, it was not an excuse not to obey. But praise God, because God spoke to his fear. God knew the concern that Ananias had. But finally, we also read that by faith, Ananias acted upon the word of God. He heard God's word, and then he responded, trusting that God is in control and he was there available to do what God wanted him to do. Different God directs our lives in many different ways. Sometimes he speaks to us through scripture. Sometimes through a particular verse or a passage comes alive to us, right? Sometimes through our worship. But as we open our hearts to God, and God opens his word to us. And I think it's important for us, like Ananias, just being available. We hear, we know, but do we respond? Today, the question that is before us in our Christian walk, my friend, do we recognize God's voice? Are we able to distinguish the voice from the world, or our own voice, and even to say, this is God's voice or this is our voice. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I think all of us are very familiar with this verse. In verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And in verse 5, he says, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. My sheep listen to my voice. For him, Ananias knew the voice of God because he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was living a life for him. Lastly, I want to look at the word F, tough. He was faithful. Ananias expressed his fear. And then he responded. He was faithful. He did not say, Lord, I'm going, and then stayed back at home. But he went. In verse 15, we read, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man, this Saul, is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to the kings and to the people of Israel. And in verse 17, we read, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Spirit. Wow, when I read this passage, you know, he did not postpone. He was faithful to the call that God gave him. When you read this particular verse, we see two important things. We see courage, we see love in these two things. First, the courage of Ananias. He was sent to visit Saul of Tarsus. You know, it is something scary because this man, Saul, was just after the Christians. But Ananias was able to overcome the fear because the word of God assured him. God spoke to him and he was able to overcome. I believe, you know, some of the other disciples would have said, are you making the right decision? Ananias would have said, no, I know the Lord has spoken. And I want to listen to his voice. There was courage. Can you imagine just walking to the house where Paul was seen as a persecutor of the church, the enemy of the gospel? You know, just going to the house and knocking on the door, you do not know what is going to be the outcome. But Ananias went with courage because the Lord was with him and he knew the word of God. And he trusted God's word when God said, go. And we not only that, you know, we realize, you know, the love of Ananias. When he meets Paul, it says in verse 17, like he addresses Paul by, he enters the house, he places his hands on Paul. He said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you. Can you imagine the kind of words, placing his hand on a person who was just coming after the Christians and calling that person Brother Saul. What an affection. Can you see love? Genuine love. By saying this, you know, Paul was saying, you know, Brother Paul, Brother Saul, you're part of this community of faith. And he's just praying for him. You know, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus has been considered one of the most crucial events in the history of God's dealing with humanity. And God used a certain disciple by the name of Ananias. God used Ananias because he was a person who was truthful in his walk with God. He was there to live a life and to do the things that God planned to do. I came across a quote by Robert Murray, who said, "A holy minister is an awesome weapon in the hand of God, my friend." Let me conclude by sharing a story about a person. Have you heard this name, Edward Kimball? Some of us would know who is Edward Kimball, but I believe many of us are not aware of his name. This even happened in 1854. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher in Detroit. And when he was teaching his class, and he felt a strong leading to visit one of his students, was a 17-year-old boy, who was in his Sunday school class, who had little interest in God or religion. And so one day, Edward, visited this young man at his job. This young man was working in a shoe shop. He met him, brought the gospel to him, and that man was D.L. Moody, who went to become one of the greatest evangelists in the world, sharing the gospel with 100 million people. Edward Kimball once wrote, in his writing he said, "I found Moody in the back part of the building, wrapping up shoes," he said. And he also wrote, he said, "I went up to him at once, and putting my hand on his shoulder, I made what I afterward thought was a very weak plea for Christ. I don't know just what words I used, nor could Mr. Moody tell. I simply told him of Christ's love for him and the love Christ wanted in return." He also says, right there in that shoe shop, D.L. Moody gave his life to Jesus. And D.L. Moody knew right away that something is happening in his heart and God was touching him. History will tell you that D.L. Moody became one of the greatest evangelists because of a Sunday school teacher was willing to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, it never ceases to amaze me as I see Jesus using ordinary people in the scriptures, in the Bible. For example, I think all of us are aware of the 12 disciples who were just simple people, maybe with a weak or even a basic faith, but God worked through them and used them because they were willing to say yes, and they were willing to listen, they were willing to surrender, and they were willing to draw closer to Him. God is able to take our faithful hearts to do extraordinary things. Yes, God is looking for people who are truthful, in their walk with Him, in their relationship with Him. Those who are available, that is, they are there wherever God leads them. It might be a difficult place, but they are available and they are faithful. They will do it with courage, with boldness. At the same time, there is love, because they know God has gone ahead, or God has gone before them and prepared the place for them. God wants to use us. We live in a time, there are many people just longing to be loved, longing to find a meaning to their life. And God wants to use us. God used Ananias. God used a lot of people in this world, and he wants to use us, my friend. But are we willing to say yes and give ourselves to him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that is given to us. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who is always wanting to use us, Father. Help us, Lord, to respond to your call. Help us, Lord, to be people who will follow your word and to be a great testimony. Lord, help us to respond like Ananias. Yes, Lord, or hear my Lord. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.